Well, good morning everyone, and welcome to our first Sunday service of a new year. And we begin with the song that reminds us that as the years, days stretch ahead of us, for the Christian, all our days are given over to trusting our Redeemer.
Thank you.
It's been good to hear from you, and this morning a very special greeting from Karen in the United States of America, who sends me an email saying that she is thinking of us here in West Yorkshire and encourages us to keep on serving our God here in Bealden. We remember Karen and Dale and all the work they did for Church on the Green. So thank you, Karen. Well, now our prayer. We do ask you, dear Lord Jesus, to continue to presence yourself with us. Be near me, Lord Jesus, we ask. And this new year commences. Stay close by us, we pray. Reveal your love to us. Bless us as your own dear children. And we praise you and we thank you for your faithful love and care. And we are reminded, as the carol says, that not one of us is fit for heaven. Only you can forgive our sin and cleanse us, because you died for us to purchase our redemption and our salvation. Turn in our Bibles now to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and Cam is going to read to us today.
Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that word may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly, to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly, as I ought to speak.
Thank you, Cam. And on this first Sunday in a new year, I turn you to these well-known verses in Ephesians for a few moments to hopefully set us off on the right track as we embark on the days and months ahead. Now, one of my favourite TV programmes, which still makes me chuckle, is Dad's Army with Captain Mannering and the Home Guard. And the programme was known for its catchphrases, one of which I'm using as a title for the message today, often heard in the programme, was, "Don't you know there's a war on?" I suppose it's really saying, be careful what you say or do, because carelessness can cost lives. And that's the message here from the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus. He says to the Christians, don't you know that there's a war on? And in verses 11 and 12, they tell us that it's a war against flesh and blood. It's against, it's not against flesh and blood, not against people. It's a battle against Satan and his demons in the heavenly realms. So Paul is saying, Christian, make sure that you have your armour on, because you'll need your armour to stand against the devil's constant attacks and schemes. So it's vitally important for Christians to know what these attacks and schemes are, and to know that we are in the middle of a war. But I do need to say to you that with verses like these, that are so well known to Christians, I need to remind you that these verses at the end of Ephesians don't stand alone, as they're often treated in some very strange ways, as though they are a complete message on their own, almost a book on their own. But these verses don't stand alone. They are an integral part of the whole teaching of this whole letter. And unless we understand these verses in that way, we are likely to miss the truth and the detail of the battle that the Christian is involved in. Get taken up with the armour and forget the battle. So to help us to see the whole picture, I want to point out two vital connections these verses have with the rest of the letter, so that in this new year, we will be enabled truly to stand against the devil's schemes. And the first big truth that we need is found in chapter 5 and verse 19, where we read, "Pray also for me, that words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel." So that's the first reason, that's number one, as to why we need this armour of God. We need it so that we can make known the mystery of the gospel. And this gospel is opposed and attacked relentlessly by Satan. And so that's why we need this armour of God. We need it so we can make known the mystery of the gospel. So what is the mystery of the gospel? Well, we're told what it is in chapter 3, verse 6. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. So the mystery is that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is as much for Gentiles as it is for Jews. Jesus brings in the gospel which is for all people, not just for the Jews. And that's the mystery that the Apostle Paul and the Christians are called to declare, and which is the subject of Satan's attacks. And witnessing to this truth gets Paul and God's people into trouble. So let me read to you a few verses from the first chapter, beginning at verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9. And he, it's God, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfilment. So what's this? What's all this plan and purpose? Well, it's to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. The gospel we see there is for all, for everyone, no matter where you're from, no matter your abilities or your status, whether you're young or old, whether you're rich or just comfortably off, or whether you're poor, God loves you. And Jesus died and rose again for you. That's the mystery of the gospel. And let me just say, whenever you see that word mystery in the Bible, you must never think of a kind of Agatha Christie type mystery. You know, where something happens and ordinary people just can't, they can't work it out. They can't understand. They're baffled. But then some kind of expert, some Hercule Poirot comes along to solve it. Ordinary people can't, but you need an expert. Mystery in the Bible never means that. Mystery in the Bible is always something that no one at all can see or solve. Not any person, no expert, no one at all, until God himself reveals it to us. So the first connection that this armour that we read about has to the rest of the letter is this mystery of the gospel. The second connection I want to point out to you is found in this chapter, verse 12. Cam read to us, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Now this term heavenly realms is found nowhere else in the New Testament other than this letter to the church at Ephesus. It's there right at the start in chapter 1 verse 3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms every spiritual blessing in Christ." And then verse 20, that chapter, "He raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms." Chapter 2, verse 6, "God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms." And brothers and sisters, this is such an important truth for us as Christians, that right now, in a spiritual sense, our Father God has brought you, as a Christian, with Christ to those heavenly realms. By trusting Christ, we are united to him so closely that what is true of him is true of us. The Christian has been spiritually resurrected already. That means You can't get any get spiritually any closer to God than you are already, because you, as a Christian, are in Christ. But, and this is the key message, that is the very reason we have warfare. It's the reason that living the Christian life is so hard, because the heavenly realm is where the battle is. It's where the evil forces are. And we as Christians are at war there. And that's why, temporarily, for the moment, life is much easier for the non-Christian than for the Christian. The non-Christian doesn't war, doesn't battle, because they're not with Christ in the heavenly realms. And so, chapter 3, verse 10 says, God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm. God's plan is to visibly demonstrate to the rulers in the heavenly realm the victory that the Lord Jesus Christ has won over them. And he's going to do that through the church. The victory Jesus won on the cross over Satan and his power is seen in the church. How? Well, the verses tell us that it's seen when Jew and Gentile, black and white, rich and poor, clever and dull, northern and southern, Brexiteers and non-Brexiteers live together as true brothers and sisters in Christ, when Christians live in real unity, displays that this unity was won for us by Christ. That's when the enemies of God see and know that they have lost and that God has won. Incidentally, that's why remote audio services like this are okay, but they can never replace the physical gathering and togetherness of the true church. That's when these spiritual things are made visible for all to see. And Jesus says this, you remember, by this, being together, this unity, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And Jesus prayed that his followers would be one, and that they would know the unity that he himself has with his Father. So if the gospel and the unity of Christians in the church is God's master plan, what's Satan's plan of attack? Well, it's division. It's disunity. It's falling out. It's criticizing. It's leaving the church that God has called you to at the first little thing that goes wrong. It's splitting and dividing. When Christians live together and love one another, despite of our faults, and we have them, then the power of the gospel is demonstrated. So that's the message and the call of the letter to the church in Ephesus. Unity is God's plan, and we need this armour to battle against Satan's schemes of opposition to the gospel, of his attacks to destroy the unity of Christians in churches. Satan's work's not seen primarily in dramatic demon possession or displays of satanic power. No, according to the Bible, Satan's attacks and destruction take place in the ordinary, everyday life of the Christian. On a Sunday, when someone says something and you fall out and you decide to leave. There's an example in this letter. Chapter 4, we read, "In your anger do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold." You see, Satan's battle takes place in the ordinary, daily relationships between us. and the armour of God is the resource for maintaining our gospel witness and our unity. God gives us spiritual blessings in Christ. He gives us righteousness and redemption and adoption. So all the armour that we read is in fact the gospel. It's the good news that Jesus died for our sin. And Christians are safe in the salvation, the security that Jesus secured for us. So brothers and sisters, remind yourself of this every day and put on the gospel. It's the only way to be strong in the Lord. It's the truth of the gospel that protects us from the lies and accusations and schemes of the devil. Remembering the gospel will help us to forgive others, to accept them and to love others and to bring about God's plan of unity. So as we move into a new year, let us all remember that we are at war, particularly times when we're not meeting together, when there will be different views on when we should get back together. I've heard some already. And it's so easy to sow seeds of strife and disagreement and division. So remember how much we need to put on God's armour so that Satan is repulsed and Christ is exalted. Amen. Now, before we sing our closing hymn today, I don't have any Bible questions for you this week, but I wanted to ask everyone listening to help me with next week's message. And I wanted you to think, if you would, of one word that for you sums up 2020, the last year. Just one. How does one word for you, think of one word that will sum up that year that's just gone by? And you can perhaps email me or text me and phone me, and that will help me as I plan next Sunday's message. But now let's close with this old hymn as we sing about the war and the fight together.